Hello, folks. This is Elsie, and I think that you can possibly hear a lot of noise in the background right now. Just wanted to let you guys know that you're going to hear a lot of noise in the background towards the second half of the episode because I got kicked out of the room where I was, and now I'm in the middle of a hallway in the library. That said, though, we do have an incredible sponsor for the show. It is Mike Me. You can find him over at mikeme.com. And what he does is that he does podcast intros and outros. He does podcast editing. He does, you know, you can get a 10% promo code for it too. And now get this. Nick from mikeme.com is going to be incredible at taking care of you. So even if you just need audio branding, the music at the beginning of the show, at the end of the show, in the middle of your segments and all that kind of stuff, mikeme.com, and that is M-I-C-M-E.com, M-I-C-M-E.com. And again, use the promo code SHEPODCAST for 10% off. Yay! Thank you, Nick, for supporting She Podcasts. And now on with the show.
Good morning. I'm sorry. I don't know why I do that. You know what? Both times when I start a show, I say good morning, no matter what time it is that I'm recording.
I know, which is
every
bizarre.
Time. And it's never, and not only that, it's never the morning. It's so weird.
I think that's the key here. You know, thinking about this stuff, like seeing people doing, and you did this. I have zero experience of this, but you did an interview show back in the day. And we've just been having about a 15-minute conversation about how annoying it is that we can't really even find a time to record ourselves, just you and I. How did you even do it with guests and stuff, Jess?
How did I do which part?
How did you schedule all the things?
Oh, I set up Acuity. I paid $10 for Acuity, and my recording times were about an hour and a half. And I would only allow 4 a week maximum. So like Tuesdays, I could do 2, and Thursdays, I could do 2. When I first started, it was total chaos. After a while, when I started to be being pitched all the time, and like I was doing 2 shows a week, so I still needed to do interviews on a pretty regular basis. But like 4 a week was my maximum. And that way I would have like, you know, that right there would provide content for the next 2 weeks. So on some days, if I only had 3, it would be okay. And I would just like try and figure out which ones would fit on which days, but I was doing 2 a week. Now that I think about it, like when it started to become repetitive, I was having similar conversations with people every time. I was losing my ever loving mind because it was always about like, how did you find success and why did you leave your job and stuff like that?
Yeah. It would just cause me to want to slowly disappear from this planet to...
It was really hard.
...figure out conversations all the time and times. Because what if you wanted to have somebody on your show and they could make it at the time that you were recording? I mean, anybody that wants me on their show, poor people.
I would kill for that to happen. But that's the thing, Elsie. If they couldn't make it in my 4 time slots, I didn't have them on.
That's true. There's that.
But only because I got to that point. There was like one time, I think, towards the end there, I made an exception for someone in Australia. But also trying to remember, I was pregnant for like at this point when it was at its peak, that's right when I got pregnant. And before that, I was taking tons and tons of hormones. So I just became like, you know what? We're just not going to do this. If they can't fit it, fuck them. Pardon my French.
I guess that's the way to do it, man. I mean, honestly, I'm just like, I wish we had like just the perfect little spa every single time where we could just show up like, you know, this is the time we do it and life would just not change and it would just be, you know, the same.
Yeah. It would be great, wouldn't it?
That's one of the things that I never thought that would, I didn't think about when I offered recording other podcasters. Is mm-hmm. then because then it's like, okay, we're going to record at 7. They can't record at 7. Okay, we're going to record at this. And so basically what I did was I just laid out times that a recording is available and then have at it. And, you know, just go same thing with Acuity. And then they can go over and pick the times. But it seems like they all want the same times. It is a hassle. Yes. And then a lot of times I've actually opened up nighttime. So because a lot of people work during the day, so they can only record like 6, 7. And then you have time zones, which gets crazy.
Oh, my
too.
God. That's the other. I'm telling you.
Don't
dude,
even get like me this, started.
So let me tell you what happened today. Okay. Because I, you know, one of my e-leaguers, the mighty Carly Nemo, who is amazing. She's like an audio producer and podcaster and all these things. And anyway, she's relaunching her Radcasters course for podcasters and stuff. So she's going to interview me about some of the work that she did in the E-League. So it's kind of cool and stuff, but she's in Australia. And I was like, dude, we can't do anything at night because I lose connectivity at night. So we have to do it in the morning. She's like, why don't we do it on Wednesday at 6 a.m.? And I was like, well, I actually offered that time. And and she was like, sure, let's do it. And so I get up this morning and I get all my stuff set up to record with her. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, she's not showing up. Like, what's up with that? It's not like she can't forget because she sent me a calendar invite. Then I look and it's the next day because days are also different, not just times.
Oh, that's so, right. She's here tomorrow.
Right. And so like, I think I got the days wrong in my own head. And so that's another thing that we have to check on. So regardless, it's just confusing. And I don't even know how people do it. That's just like one person. That's just one person.
Just one person. Oh my God. I just found, this is totally off topic, but like.
Surprise, surprise.
I just found for curly haired people something called a backless cap. It's a baseball hat, but the back of the hat doesn't exist. So it's almost like a visor, but with the top part for your head, but not the back part, which is the biggest problem for people with curly hair that wear a hat is like, you can't fit your damn curls all underneath the hat part. Oh my God, it's the dream. Why didn't I think
of
that?
Are you serious? That is a problem for people with curly hair?
Have you ever seen me wear a hat other than a cowboy hat?
No.
That is the reason why. because it looks like I'm a pencil and the hat is the eraser. Like it sits on top of the curls and I can't pull it down because it just gets slowly pushed back up to like my eyebrows.
I see. Okay.
So ridiculous.
So it's kind of like, okay, all right. So even if it's not one of those, people do have those caps though, like those caps that are really tall. Like that they do look like super high on top of the head. Like that's a thing. Yeah.
I'm not that fashionable though.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, that really seems that kind of a little bit weird to me though, I have to say. I'm not sure I'd be into that. You know, yeah, Randy wears his thing like that all the time. And then he went hiking like that once. And then he came home and he had a crazy tan line on his forehead.
I love that story. That must have been hilarious.
It was like when I looked at him, I'm like, is your forehead dirty? What's the matter? And I was like, oh my God, you were wearing your hat backwards.
Isaac's whole body all summer was two complete different colors. Like it was as if, he was kind of like tan Frankenstein. It was that someone cut him off at the shoulders and the knees and stuck on a like a darker person's like appendages and head. And then the rest of him was like hospital white. But he got really brown. Like you saw, he got a pretty good tan this summer.
He did.
But his little tuchus and his chest and everything was like so white. It was really funny. He's starting dance class next week.
How exciting. That's going to be great. I mean, he's already a rock star. This is going to be awesome.
I know. It says, but I just got the email. It says dancers should wear a leotard or comfortable clothing that they can freely move and stretch in. Dancers should have ballet shoes or they will be asked to remove their shoes and socks in order to participate. I'm going to go ahead and guess that I should just let him not wear shoes and socks because I can't really see Isaac in ballet shoes.
Well, no. And also, and it's the age thing too. And that's exactly what my girls were told for ballet as well. Mm-hmm. And especially May, she wore whatever the heck she wanted.
Yeah.
And then she also wore no shoes. That was just like, she just didn't do the shoes. She'd always forget them. She didn't put them on. She took them off. She like, whatever. So all the other little girls had the leotards with the little thing and their hair was all nice in a bun and their little toes and all the things. And my May was just wearing whatever she decided to wear in the morning and she didn't have shoes. So she was fine. There you go.
I know he's going to come home and want a leotard. I just can already tell that's what's going to happen. But because of the remember the Crocs?
Well, yeah. I mean, if he wants one, he can. But there's also like all different kinds.
There's boys' there's little leotards. Shorts. I mean, yeah, you're right.
There's little like there's all kinds of different choices.
That's so true. It's very true.
Whatevs. And I'm sure there's going to be all kinds of different outfits, too. So it doesn't have to be thing. It could be whatever things.
I mean, I don't think it's recital. It's just through school. It's like an hour during lunch. And then Thursday, and then Wednesdays, he's going to be doing swim right before lunch, which probably will mean he'll start napping, I bet.
And be more hungry, possibly.
Yeah, good point.
So let me kind of change the subject to just talk about the E-League really quick. Before.
Should we talk about podcasting maybe? I don't know.
I know, right? I know. But I have one more week, you guys, to keep like the doors of the E-League open. That's my mentorship experience here. And at this moment when we're recording this, I don't know what's going to happen in the next few days. So this is a Wednesday and this is going to come out on Monday, but I have 8 spots open. So if you've been, you know, holding your breath or considering it, please do it. And I feel and like the group that's doing it is already fired up. Like, so they're very, very, very excited. And the other thing that I have to bring up is the fact that I know for sure that there's a lot of us that are feeling kind of a little bit overwhelmed by what's happening in the world at this time and the conversations that are out there and things that are happening with politics or culture or people coming up and all kinds of movements. And it's really bringing up a lot of stuff. All I know is that there's come a point now where I've had to turn everything off and make sure that I'm really clear on who I want to be in the world and what my voice needs to do, especially in the podcasting space. So if any of you are wanting to make sure that next year is your year to get it done via podcasting because you have something to say and you really want to reach more people or you really want to get whatever it is that you want to get, please apply. Please apply. And if you haven't, there is a special disappearing episode. It's going to go away on October 12th and where I kind of talk a little bit more about this. So link is in the show notes. Please, please, please subscribe. I would love to work with you. So or apply is what I meant to say. Anyway, let's go do some news now, please.
The news you can use. For the informed podcaster, podcasting news.
All right.
It looks like we have a whole Apple floodgate and a whole Apple rant happening in our show notes today.
Yes, we do.
Lots of Apple info. So get your techie hats on, y'all.
I know. You guys. So this was actually something I had in the show notes last week, but there were so many other things that I kind of moved it over to this side. But I don't know. Did you have a chance to look at this article? I just put it in here because some of the data inside of this was very interesting to me. The title is called It's the 1 Year Anniversary of Apple's New Podcast Tags. Jessica Kufferman, do you know what these podcast tags are?
No, I never know what the tags are. I'm excited. I don't pay attention one lick to the tags, as you know.
Ooh.
All right.
I know.
You know? What is it, John? What is it, John?
The tags that are in the, you mean the separate tags that you put in for the title that's not supposed to have anything but the title in it?
Yes.
And the episode and the season and if it's a bonus episode or episodic episodes or seasonal episodes, there's all that in there. Yes, that's all part of the new tags that you put in that would show up in iTunes. Whoa, I mean Apple Podcast. Yes.
Apple Podcast, that's right.
Yes.
No, but you know, but it even gets a little wonkier too, John, because these tags show up in Apple Podcasts because they want you to call them Apple Podcasts, and yet these are the iTunes feed tags, just to let you
know.
Anyway, just to make things a little bit more complicated.
Are you saying that they are contradicting themselves?
Because look at the tags. Do you see that?
Yes.
The tags that are in there, it's iTunes equal type, iTunes equal season, right? Doesn't say Apple Podcasts.
No, it does not. They should start all practicing right. What they preach.
Right?
Yeah.
You would think.
Yeah.
Anyway, no.
I think we should get a bunch of signatures. What's that called again? that I forgot.
A petition to
make them change that.
And have them exactly make it just like that. No, but see, these are supposed to make things a lot easier for people to find your show and all kinds of stuff. Meaning, you know, exactly what if your show is episodic, which is kind of like ours, because ours is like every week. It doesn't ever stop. It just keeps going. Or if it's a serial, which means it's more like seasons, where you start with your thing, you do X amount of episodes, you kind of take a break, you come back, you do another set. That is what that looks like. And then they had the option to label things bonus if you have a bonus content, or if it's a trailer, meaning it's kind of like a little promo for your show, you can do that as well. And you can label that. And it shows up very nicely in Apple Podcasts. And this article that you guys need to read says that as of September 2018, that the most of the shows on the U.S. Top 200, meaning in Apple Podcasts, use at least one of Apple's new tags, which is cool, pretty cool. I mean, thinking about how many people are using that, 75% of those shows are adopting them, which is a really huge adoption rate. And yet, though, it seems that once you get out of the top 200, you find that most shows don't take advantage of the new tags at all. So those new tags aren't really used in about 58.7% of the shows in the larger sample don't use any of these new tags. So you guys check it out. Maybe your host is helping you, you know, use these tags so that you can put them in your show. And there is now Stitcher supports these tags now. That's a big thing that has come out. So if more podcast people or apps start to support them, it's going to matter.
Definitely.
That is it. That is all I have to say about that.
It is? Okay.
Yeah, there's nothing
I thought
more.
That would be so much longer.
No, it's boring. You're bored out of your mind.
Well, let's get to the exciting stuff, shall we?
Dude, all of this is like really annoying stuff to talk about. But I actually, you know, this next thing.
I think this one's good, though.
You think so? The next one? You think the next one's good?
Yeah.
Do you really?
Now I don't know which one we're talking about.
The best authoring practices via Apple?
No, I thought it was the next one.
No. So this one, well, I have to talk about this. I had a request for us to address this. In fact, I have to ask both of you guys, did you get this email from Apple Podcasts? The telling you about the best authoring practices that they're asking you to do?
I did not get this.
You did not get this?
No.
I didn't either. Did you, Jess?
Wait. I'm looking for Apple Podcast. I got new marketing and authoring best practices. Okay,
that's it. Yes, that's it.
September 26th at 7:39 a.m.
Correct. Yes, that is it. So it's yes.
Do you want to hear the email or is
Please,
it not important?
Do it. Do it. Oh. Do it. Read it.
To improve your experience with Apple Podcasts, we want to share the following announcements and information. Marketing Best Practices website. Find out what it takes to grow your audience. The new Apple Podcasts Marketing Best Practices website offers tips and tools used by big name shows and indies alike. Learn all about fundamentals, audience development, Apple tools and resources, as well as common mistakes to avoid. The next one says podcast authoring best practices. To help your podcast sound its best on HomePod and Apple Podcasts, we encourage you to read our new podcasts authoring best practices. Use these guidelines on formats, levels, and loudness metadata to create the best possible quality and file size trade-offs while ensuring a pleasant and distortion-free experience for listeners. If you have any questions, just contact us.
Correct. I just found mine. It was in the spam folder.
Oh, look at that. There you have it. But here's the thing that's got a lot of people all wound up about it. Cause I think we did talk about the marketing practices a couple of episodes ago or maybe we didn't. Oh my God, I forgot. I don't remember if we talked about it or not. Oh, I cannot remember now. But this is what's got people all wound up that in the podcast authoring best practices, it says, for efficient use of networking bandwidth when distributing podcasts, the audio content is typically encoded or compressed in a lossy format like AAC or MP3, yielding significant file size reductions. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to skip a little bit, but then it says here, although MP3 is the most commonly used format for audio podcast, we strongly recommend using AAC over MP3. Today, there are no technical limitations which could preclude an AAC podcast to be played back on any device. When choosing AAC, recommend... Anyway, it just keeps going.
Why is that a big deal? Is AAC their file format?
Yes.
Well, but the whole point of both of those shows, though... Like, not both of those shows. I'm sorry. Both of those new websites, the whole thing is an Apple... commercial, both of those, both the marketing and the best practices is all about how to use Apple. So that doesn't surprise me at all.
Right. But see, it, the thing is, it's making podcasters get all freaked out because most people, they're going to see that and they're going to go, wait, we strongly recommend. Does that mean we have to? And then so I have seen a lot of emails and a lot of messages going like, oh my God, do we have to change to AAC? And I don't know how to, what we should do. What should we do? And I have a little clip from my other podcast, The Feed. This was from episode 129 because we just recorded that. And I have an answer for you. Take it away, Rob.
Short answer, no. Long answer is also no. I am a firm believer that MP3 is the best way to go. The patent issues are over and it is the most compatible format. Is AAC a little smaller format? Yeah, slightly. And we're talking spoken word here, folks. So if you start with a clean recording, MP3 at 64 kilobits per second, and it will sound more than fine.
All right. There you have it, guys.
All right.
It's all done. So stick to MP3. Stick to MP3. Until they say something like, you are required to use AAC, then you're going to have to make a harder choice. But strongly recommended. At this moment, it seems like MP3, if you've been doing it like in this way for this long, don't freak out. Just do that.
Honestly, Apple can be very exhausting.
Believe me. There comes a point where I just feel so sad for all of the podcasters.
Steve Wilson from Apple Podcasts followed me recently on Twitter, and I felt a cold chill run through my body.
Watch out. Better be saying afraid. Apple Podcast all the time or you're going to get called out, Jess.
I know. I was like, ugh. That's frightening.
So the only thing that I see here that now that I'm kind of clicking around is that they are talking about loudness standards again and that they are recommending negative 16, but they're not saying whether it's, you know, mono or stereo. And to be honest with you, this show... is produced at 44.1K, 16-bit, 64 kilobytes per second. And it sounds fine.
It's great.
Right.
So, it sounds awesome.
Right.
Totally.
So, and it's, again, it's spoken word. But a lot of people, they for some reason, they want to do stereo at 128. It's a much bigger, it's twice the size. The file's twice the size. So, again, it's personal preference. And you can tell when you download it, how much one takes to load and the other one. It takes twice as long to load one as it does the other. But my biggest thing is that I'm finding on podcasts all the time is no one pays attention to the loudness. And you'll play one show and it'll blow your speakers out. And then you'll play another show and you have to turn it up so loud that you can barely hear it. And it really is annoying. So if you're out there and you have no idea about loudness, I would definitely... go to YouTube or send me an email, john@audioeditingsolutions.com. I'll be happy to go over it with you, see how you're doing it, and see how you can actually move your show up to be the correct loudness. It's not that hard to do. And I think out of all this, what they're talking about, that is the most important out of all this.
Absolutely.
Thanks, and John.
Thank you, John. And please take him up on it because it absolutely means so much for you guys, that for him to say this and you guys take advantage of it. And the other thing is that thank you for saying that too, John. But at the same time, with all these links inside there, they do have a loudness part, but they don't ever describe it. They don't make it accessible, meaning
they
it
say
seems.
It just says negative 16. And it,
watch
it,
out. Watch out. I have somebody coming up. I have something coming.
Ooh, okay.
Hi, how you doing? You're going to do what? Legoland Club. Legoland Club in a couple of minutes.
Lord.
Oh, my God. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord.
Oh, golly.
I don't even know what to say there. Legoland Club in the room.
Legoland Club or Lego Club? Because Legoland just sounds like they just get together and discuss the theme park. That seems wrong.
See, this is this is the part of the podcasting workflow that no one understands. That, you know, you have to go somewhere to podcast, and now you're going to have to pick up and leave.
I know. Where am I going to go?
I have no idea.
What are we going to do?
I have no idea.
I can't put this in my pocket because I'm not recording on the computer. So what?
Wait, are you saying you now have to leave right now?
Yes.
Because the Lego
because
people.
Of Legoland Group.
Lego people are coming.
Was there a way of knowing that?
No.
They were
signed
up? Well,
I think that there was a way of knowing, but it wasn't shared. I think that
well,
was the
then they thing. Can take their Legos and fuck the fuck off.
I don't think that's going to be possible.
I mean,
how about this? You guys keep talking.
Okay.
Keep talking.
Okay.
You guys continue. Continue recording.
You
okay.
Are you
continue
gonna be?
down the line. I am going to be right here. I'm just grabbing everything. I'm taking everything a little bit at a time out, but I'll still, cause I'm mobile recording. So I can actually record while I'm packing up.
Okay.
So.
Oh my God. I don't even know what
dude,
to
say. Dude, this wasn't even.
This was crazy.
The lady told me that the other side had Spanish. They didn't say there was like Lego on this side.
Well, did you ask though, or do they feel like?
No, because I know this guy. He's like he's the librarian, dude. I mean, it's sort of like your house. You know what I mean? Mm. Future house, and then somebody's using an empty room, and then you walk in, you're like, oh, it's my time to watch, you know, whatever, and you're like, but I'm always here, and you're like, well, it's my house. He's the librarian.
Yeah, Golden Girls is on, and you have to leave because I want to watch Golden Girls.
That's right.
Oh, my God. Tell him to go away.
I don't think you can do that. He's the librarian. Didn't you get the part that he's
the librarian? Was that
the librarian?
No, yes. I missed that part.
What are you listening to?
I thought it was just some dude ready to talk about Legos with his pals. And I'm like, go to Barnes & Noble. Go away.
Oh, here they come. Here come the Lego people.
So, Jess, you guys talk about Spotify. I will stop this off. I'll keep you in my ears, and then I won't talk. I'll just listen. And then when I'm ready to come back, I'll come back, okay?
Let me know when that starts.
All right.
Okay, I'm stopping my recording, and then you guys.
Wait a minute. Why are you stopping your recording? Because then how am I?
Because I have to pick up my stuff, and I thought I could do it without touching things, but I can't.
Okay. All right. Stop your recording, and then when you come back, we're gonna have to have a talk. Okay.
Okay. Okay. All right.
All right. Bye.
You keep on talking, but I'll hear you because I'm.
When are you gonna stop talking, though? I'm waiting for it to begin.
Okay. Stop. Stop.
Can you please leave that in?
I don't know. I'm sure I will figure out what to do with that.
Okay. That should be our opener. When are you going to stop talking? People are going to be like, look at her beating up Elsie. And Elsie's so sweet and nice, and people are going to think I'm such a bitch.
It's like like smacking a puppy. You can't do that.
I know.
Like,
but I mean,
horrible.
Like, she kept saying it was going to happen. I was just waiting for it to happen. Okay. So, in other news.
So, basically, what they did was they went to the bullpen and they pulled out a right-hander. I guess that's me. So now I'm up. Is that what's going on?
But I mean, you're up anyway, because you can talk anytime you want. You know that.
Yes, true.
Okay, so next on our list of news is that Spotify has now opened the floodgates for podcasters to start adding their shows to Spotify on their own, not necessarily through their host. So,
and as typical fashion, whenever something like this comes out, they run like a flock of sheep to whoever tells them to what to do, and then it has to happen immediately. Immediately.
Right, like, it's not in. I can't find it. When's it going to be approved? Like, I mean, imagine all the people that are trying to do this right now. Those poor people. Anyway, so they're letting independent artists directly upload their music. Now, She Podcasts is in Spotify through Libsyn, which does or does not mean that we're going to get the benefit of the... Like what's great about Spotify so far is that they've promised to let us see a little bit of demographic information. And so Libsyn doesn't give that. I kind of pull that from Facebook pages sometimes, but like,
well, Libsyn does. Libsyn, if you go to your Libsyn stats, there is a Spotify tab.
But does it give you demographic information though?
I don't know. That's downloads. But I do know that I talked about this the other night. So I said, I wonder what my Spotify, I wonder how many people listen to my podcast on Spotify. And I went over there and I had a whopping 15. Not one episode total.
All right, let me look at mine. Okay, Spotify for us. It's not great.
Yeah.
The last one was two, but that was just released 2 days ago. Last week, About the Bean has 5. The week before has 13, 7, 13, 13, 6, 10. It's certainly not our biggest draw. I'll say that.
Exactly. And then I got to go. I mean, I understand. Oh, my God. I got to get my thing on Spotify, because here's what happens. You go to your Instagram stories, and as you're flipping through, every podcaster goes, hey, you can now hear my podcast on Spotify.
Right.
Well, I'm already listening to your podcast on my podcast app, which is Overcast. And I don't really care about Spotify. I don't want to put another app on my phone to listen to podcasts. I have the one I like. And remember, I am a podcast purist. I want things done my way. Right. But I understand where other people are doing this. But it's not that, again, it's not that big of a deal. And I'm already mad at Spotify. I'll tell you that later.
Okay. So in fairness, I do not share the show. So when our show goes in Instagram, Spotify, you can now share the Spotify episodes and any song right to Instagram stories. So I do that every time for Brilliant Observations, but I do not do that for She Podcast. So I came over here to see, like,
okay, well then, since you're doing that, let's look at Brilliant Observations and see if that makes a difference.
No, it's terrible.
It makes no difference.
It makes no difference. Let me go to the Spotify. But this, yeah, it makes no difference. It's not made one. I mean, like one or two people are listening in that way that I can see, unless they're not counting the same way that Spotify is counting.
Oh, here we go.
Well, I mean, it's supposed to be, you know, it's supposed to be standardized, but that doesn't necessarily mean it is.
Okay. So I already have people coming to me saying, oh, I got to get my show on Spotify. How do I do this? How do I find my RSS feed? Because they are either using Megaphone or some other place that doesn't have the ability to go to Spotify like Libsyn does. And I don't know. I'm not 100% sure if Blueberry does or Spreaker. I don't know what there's. I've never looked to see if they do. But I know that Libsyn does. So now they're immediately like, oh, we got to get this done, and we have to figure out how to get over there. And it's like a mad stampede now.
I know.
That should be fun.
Knock, you know, knock.
Hey, there you
Hi,
are.
Hi, she's back. Oh, my God.
So can I get into this conversation really quick then?
Please
we
do.
Wish you would.
We looked in at She Podcast and Brilliant Observations and realized that Spotify is really not giving that many people, you're not getting that many listens from there anyhow.
No, not at all. But here's the thing, too. It's like the interesting part is that what people are doing right now are people who are already on Spotify. They're already on Spotify. But this portal now has been opened for everybody. They're freaking out saying like, do I have to put my thing in there? Oh my gosh. And they freak out and then they put their thing in there.
So now, it's now in
they
there twice.
Have doubles. Oh. Now they have double feeds.
For the love of all that is holy.
Yes.
It is now officially a mess.
But in their defense, as of now, you can't see the stats that they're offering in Libsyn.
Correct. No, you can't. Not
so
the,
you
kind of
have to do it twice
yet.
In order to get the same insights.
Possibly. Well, we'll have to see when that happens. You know, and unfortunately, I actually was looking at that too. It seems like sometimes Spotify stats are delayed. Like they don't come in. They're just not coming in as you would want them to come in, right? But you guys were talking about the minute amount of people that are listening on Spotify. And then, you know, my special episode that I was just talking about, the self-destructing one.
Yes.
I made a very decided choice to only promote the Spotify link because it's the easiest link for people to listen. It's less than 10 minutes. I didn't want people to go subscribe to the show if they weren't subscribed. I wanted easy access, and I wanted if somebody wanted to tap on the button, it's great because Spotify automatically opens. And if you don't have Spotify, you can still actually listen, I believe. And if you're on a computer, it actually pops it up on your computer, and it's really cool. And it's not in the Spotify app. And I thought, wow, this is really cool. And I've been promoting the crap out of that. Mm-hmm. Three.
Really?
Three.
I know, three.
That's terrible.
Yeah, thank you, Ramona.
So two in September, one in October, three. And I have a feeling one of those was
That's
me.
Useful. That is useful. Yeah, that's what I was just looking at. Our self-destructing episode has had one. Yeah, we're not getting very much from it. That's for sure.
Right. It is kind of nice.
I haven't looked. You know what's funny? I have not even looked at our downloads in so long. I didn't even know what we got. Like, I mean, it looks like we grew a little bit, like, since July. But that's interesting, huh? I've not even, I have no idea what's even happening.
I know people that have, like, charts. They have
I know, there's the charts. I couldn't function if I had charts.
Every day, they go every day to the, and get the downloads every day.
So I just wrote an article for podcast websites about that because, well, I guess by the time this comes out, they'll know, or you know, they're going through something similar to what Libsyn went through recently. And I wrote like a softening the blow, try and remember that the downloads aren't the reason you got into this in the first place. It was to connect with people, educate people, entertain people, help people. And right. So you need to focus your measurement success on something other than your downloads, which I know is, and I even wrote, I know this is a jagged pill to swallow since it's coming from your hosting company, but right. You know, like we're here for you to help you and then sort of try to funnel them into the academy to like try and grow those numbers and not be so focused on charting their downloads. Like it's so, please, do you really have no people that chart their downloads like that? That's yes. The saddest thing I ever heard.
Yes, I have. Now, the other thing is now that hey.
Hello.
Hello. So the thing is that, especially with the downloads, is now that you're going through what Libsyn is, everybody thinks that you are lying to them.
Well, so it's at this moment while recording this podcast, it is too early to know what we're going to be accused of because it has not happened yet.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I feel sad if that's what happened to the others because you and I both know that's not true. And the thing that bothers me the most that I couldn't say in the article that I'm happy to say now is that what bothers me the most is that the whole reason for the standardization is not having anything to do with an independent podcaster. It's not for us and doesn't involve us. It shouldn't change anything for us because no one even cared about downloads until large networks and large advertisers came into the picture. Now, all of a sudden, advertisers needed to know, they need to be able to measure their return on investment, and they can't do that if every show they're advertising on counts their statistic in a different way. They have to standardize it so that large advertisers will continue to play on our ball field. So
I don't know if I agree with that when you say downloads does not matter to the independent podcaster, because sure it does. That's how we measure success.
No, that's how you do now. But before this happened 5 years ago, let's even say, did you see people obsessed with their downloads? I didn't.
Absolutely.
I don't remember that. That's true. I don't remember that. But I know that it's more prevalent now because of them. And I know that the standardization has nothing to do with us. It only has to do with the large players, the big kids on the team. The little kids can go right ahead and be happy that they just hit the ball. You know what I mean? Like, we don't have to hit home runs every time. We're not being recruited for the MLB. I can't believe I'm using sports references even remotely successfully.
Yeah, because that's a horrible analogy, to be quite honest with
you. Okay, good.
So you're trying to say that we shouldn't worry about our downloads because we're not good enough to play with the big boys. Is that what you just said? Is that what I just heard?
Not that we're not good enough, but because
we shouldn't care that where
we
shows
are
growing?
Not trying to attract Target and Walmart as advertisers in the first place.
Right. And I think that's what the
it's
key
a totally
is here,
different
John.
Goal.
It's sort of like the amount of download numbers that somebody is getting, like, you know, what, like, let's say Serial and Dr. Death and all of those ones that are coming out, there are download numbers that are way beyond what some of the sort of in the general independent podcaster population is. And so it's not that they're better. It's just that they are
different
charting that many more downloads that they need measurement. So essentially what this is showing, it is, I think what Jess is talking about, it is all about the advertising part of things. They just need to get the money and they need to show a lot of it, right? For us, the majority, like, you know, the median number for downloads per episode per month is 142 downloads. 142. The end.
Can I ask a question? Because I have a feeling that maybe some of these numbers are skewed because it has dropped significantly since the last time.
Oh, yeah, it has. Absolutely, it has.
Right, so,
because there's that many more podcasts coming into the scene. So they are skewing down because there's a lot more podcasts coming in.
And do you think that maybe, just maybe, that a certain place called Anchor has made it so easy for people to try podcasts? They start a podcast, they walk away from a podcast, and now that drops that because it's still a podcast.
You are correct. Absolutely.
So we've got, so now, to be quite honest with you, we have a whole statistical mess on our hands.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to get better. It's just, and it's not for us. And again, it doesn't involve us. And it's not because we're not good enough.
Right.
It's because we just have totally different goals. Our goal is not to have Ford and, you know, whatever, advertise on our show. Our goal is to achieve, you know, everyone has a different goal when they start podcasting, to entertain people, to become famous as an entertainer. It still has nothing to do with your downloads at all. Not one bit.
I don't know if I agree with that. I think it, because that's how you grow your audience, and that's the way you measure how you're growing your audience is by downloads, correct?
I believe that that's one of the measurements that you put in there. That's one of a variety of different things. And I think that even now, that's one thing that I've been talking about to commercial radio, you know, when I was writing, you know, I was doing the panel and writing some articles and all that kind of stuff. It really is about even changing their mindset that it, how are you going to know when something is successful? It needs to happen. It needs to be beyond downloads. How do you measure that?
I gauged it on, were people talking back to me? Were they participating with me? Were they asking questions? Right. Were they sending me tweets? Like, that's how I knew I was making a difference and my audience was growing. More people would start giving me mentions and comments. Like, and, you know, that stopped when I stopped doing it. But, like, I didn't really even notice my downloads. And I still made money advertising. I just kind of tried to calculate of the value opportunity of what I was offering with my entire audience. That's what I think podcasters who are not with large networks should be focused on, no matter how big they are. And that's why I feel like when your hosting company standardizes, I mean, the truth is it doesn't affect you whatsoever. You have not lost listeners. You've only lost a number that wasn't being counted to the standard of large corporations. It means nothing. Do you see how meaningless a download is?
Especially when you don't know where it's coming from.
It's a person who pushed play and stayed pressing play for an X amount of time.
Right.
And then if they come back, that's another download. If they listen to it again, like, it's still the same amount of listeners.
Right. Exactly.
So it's a really a meaningless number. That said, I know people want to know what their stats are because they want to see that someone's listening, and that's fine. But you should, I think the goal is to measure it based on, I mean, look, like with Brilliant Observations, John, like, I know people are listening because, like, Honor comments on the show. Like, he interacts with, you know, there are people that interact with us, Ginger, and, you know, my friend Jen was like, I love listening to your podcast, but it makes me miss you. Like, that's how I know I have listeners. Is people reach out to me and say, that's so funny, or I can't believe you did that, or whatever. I know that Melissa and you both are like, no one listens, but people listen.
I never say that because I upload it. I see the downloads.
Yeah, you know, people are listening and it's not terrible. It's just that, you know, we're not going to be tapping on Target to advertise anytime soon, nor that wasn't the goal in the first place, I don't think.
No, I understand that. But what I'm saying is that if you're trying to grow your audience, and I understand that you are, not only do you sell your podcast downloads, but you're set from that, you now become an influencer in social media, whether it's through Instagram or Twitter or Facebook and all those things. I get all that. And that is an entire package. But even if you gained a bunch of followers on social media, that they might not even listen to your podcast.
Yes, but the chances, well, the thing is, though, let's say you have 150 listeners in your downloads, but you have 500 followers on Twitter. First of all, they probably followed you for a reason, and that's okay. If you are putting out regular content, like, you know, on a consistent basis, and then all of a sudden you're selling a live show. If you talk about the live show on your podcast and then you tweet about it, and that, you know, then you have that entire audience that's going to see it and buy a ticket as opposed to just the 150 that are listening. It doesn't matter whether they listen or not if you're putting content in all the places, because it should be more than just this week's episode is. It should be, hey, have you seen this? And hey, this goes along with what I was talking about. And then, by the way, we have a new episode that talks everything about this if you guys want to check it out. But your whole audience should not be people who are dying to listen to audio, because listening to podcasts can be time consuming. So I prefer to have an audience everywhere, because then I'm an influencer everywhere. And the people who are listening to my podcast are just that much more, they're that much more on board with what I'm talking about because they've been listening to me. Does that make sense?
It does, but it doesn't. So you're trying to grow your show. So then for me, the only way I know that I can tell is if my downloads go up. If you're talking about your whole influence in the social media space, then new followers and stuff like that, yes, you can add them. I'm not sure. You know, this is all, it seems to change every couple of years on what is the way you value or measure your audience.
No, it doesn't change every few years.
It seems to me.
Well, here's just the rule. What do you want to measure? It, like, what has to happen in order for you to feel like you have a successful podcast?
That my downloads have to grow.
Why? What else? Because
then I know they're listening. How else would they? How else is my show not growing so if no one's listening to the show?
An ultimate goal besides downloads. Is there anything else?
No, yes. Not for me.
You don't
want
to be asked to speak or asked to get on a television show or asked to write a humor column or, I mean, there has to be you cannot tell me that you were sitting around one day and thought, you know what, I'd really like 10,000 downloads on a podcast. That is, there's no way that's your ultimate measure of success.
Okay, I understand what you're saying there, but so yes, maybe to those other things, and that can be through social media, but I am down here recording a show and putting it out for everyone. I would like to listen to it.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Well, you have more chance of getting listeners if you can grow your channels elsewhere and then direct them back to the podcast.
Okay, I get that. I understand.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay, yes. We agree on
that. And that loop that you're talking about, that Jess is talking about, that loop isn't fast. So the other thing is that whenever that starts to happen, somebody goes like, "Ooh, look at John posted something on Instagram. That's really interesting. Oh, it looks like he has a podcast." Oh, they forget.
Right.
They come touch base with you again. They see a tweet that you put out. They find out, "Oh, yeah, John does have a podcast." This could take up to a year or more.
Maybe. I mean,
where they're just touching base with you and they never listen. And then one day they do.
The other part, John, is that the reason why the other channels are important is because 20 million people listen to podcasts, but 6 billion people are on Facebook. So if you only want to grow the downloads, like, where are you going to find those people? Where there's literally no way to reach out to them other than trying to grow an audience on social media and then convert them any way you can.
I agree. You know, it's funny, and I don't know about you, but I know for me that it's hard enough for me to get my family to listen to my shows. So, you know,
I feel so free to dish on them. They don't listen, nor will they ever.
Exactly. So if you can't get your own family, you know it's hard to get people to listen to podcasts unless they're into podcasts like we are.
See, I think they listen to us enough on a regular. They don't need to hear what the fuck we have to say because they're listening to us whine live and in person.
That's true, too.
Oh my God, you guys. So if you want to get a different take on all of this conversation, this is exactly what the E-League Essentials are all about. It's what I teach. It's what I really hammer in with everybody. But everything has a different name, like all the things that Jess was talking about. That's the ecosystem, which is, for me, it's called transmedia. And all building your conversation, what's your conversation? And I build it up little by little, but I ask really hard questions. It's not about, you know, that question that Jess kept asking you right now, like, how do you listen to, you know, or how do you measure success?
Right.
Like I really bring that forward. So if your answer is just via downloads, then my mentorship isn't going to work for you.
No, I understand.
Because I'm looking for more. I want a deeper conversation.
And it doesn't mean the ultimate goal.
But it doesn't mean that it doesn't matter. Like, I'm not dismissing it. What I'm saying is I want more from you, John.
Okay.
I want more from you. You have a lot more to offer than you giving me this answer. And it's not going to come from anybody else but you. You got to really dig deep and you got to come up with a solution for that or something that you can start to really believe.
Even if it's just to feel fulfilled or that someone's hearing your opinion or, you know, even if it's just to get out what you're holding in, that's a good enough reason. But that also, no matter what the reason is, the answer isn't going to be, well, you know what you need to do. You got to grow those downloads.
Exactly.
That's why I don't think focus, I mean, the people who are charting that are not focused. They'll never do it because they're not focused on the right thing. So they'll never feel successful because there will never be enough downloads for that person. Never.
Correct. And the thing is, they're looking at tactical solutions, meaning if I do and pat solutions that add up to something like 1 + 1 = 2. So if I post to Twitter 10 times and I post to Instagram 3 times and I email 3 people, that equals 20 downloads. Okay. Let's put that on repeat. And then it becomes a formula. And I don't believe in that, particularly for podcasting, because our work is completely different. I would not advise you, John, to do the same thing that I might be advising somebody else that I'm working with on the E-League. I wouldn't, because everybody is looking for audience in a different place and your actions are going to be different. So it's those pat answers that I'm not a fan of. It's the formulas and it's the looking for that quick solution. And unfortunately, there isn't one.
Yeah. And there's other things. There's John, the podcaster, and then there's John, the audio editor and podcast fan. So that's
correct.
Totally different guys. John, the podcast editor, doesn't care about downloads. John the podcaster kind of does. So, but I see your point.
But Shall we move on, though? Shall we move on to some tips? Because speaking of how to grow audiences.
Elsie's tool tip.
Okay, so now get this. So there's a new, and then talking about growing your audience and growing, and for me, it's not necessarily just your audience, but growing podcasting in general. The women from the Women of Color Podcasting Group has put together a little initiative for the month of October, and it's called #Podtober. And they're doing this like really cool thing that every day there's a little something that you can put on social media, and it's like sweet little questions like, why did you name your show? And what are your goals for your show? And this latest one was like 5 things that you didn't know about the person. And it's very, very cool. You guys definitely check that out. Follow it.
Yeah.
Hashtag
I looked at it too. It's cool.
Podtober. And you'll have all the links in the show notes so that you could see where it came from and the group that you can join if you identify as a woman of color, because it's only women of color in Facebook. But you can follow them at WOC_podcasters on Twitter to kind of follow along. And I think it's going to be a great initiative. They're doing a really great job.
Hey, there you go.
Elsie, listen, we're just going to treat you like you're on location and there's going to be background noise. And don't worry about it. If no
so
one
funny.
Has understood right now that Elsie is not in her normal studio.
Yes, I'm not. I had to get kicked out.
Right. And so with that, you're going to hear a little background noise of people walking behind them. And that's okay. Because
we
have a message to put out.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's exactly right. Amen.
Do you have a tool tip, Jess?
I mean, my stuff that I've been into lately is apps, like stuff that will make my life easier, but also how to organize apps. And like, I'm still on that kick, even though I have a workable thing happening at the moment, but it's not perfect. So today's tool tip is going to be an app called Sticky. It's an iPhone app. And basically you can either take or upload pictures of yourself. It will then save these pictures as little stickers that you could then send via text message like the other things that we send, like Bitmoji.
Oh, how about that?
That's kind of fun. So like it's called Sticky. And like, for example, there's a picture that I took a couple weeks ago that I uploaded and like immediately took the background out. And now it just looks like every time I'm thinking, I can just like just put that face like my face.
And can I also say, Jessica, that you have a Bitmoji that looks so much like you. I've never seen
know,
a Bitmoji
weird, right?
That looks exactly like somebody. Like your Bitmoji looks like you.
I mean, I worked really hard on it. Like I tweak it once in a while. Like if I see it and I'm like, is that nose right? And then I go back in. I'm very distracted by my Bitmojis.
Elsie, do you have a Bitmoji?
She does, but it's not perfect, but it does.
I
look
do have
similar.
It. It's not my, yeah, it doesn't, it's not as good as Jess's. I don't know why. She tells me, what did you tell me something about my lipstick? You actually commented on my Bitmoji's lipstick. I was like, Jesus.
Yeah, well, you never wear lipstick. Well, no, I think I said the lips were too big and the nose was too big and the lips were too small.
Okay.
And so if she makes her nose small, because she has a, I mean, you probably don't feel like it when you look in the mirror, but you have a tiny nose and like a,
I think
like
I have a
nice
large
wide
nose.
Mouth.
I think that I had a big one. So
a big one, what? Nose?
My nose, yeah.
You think you have a big nose and you're my friend?
It's like every time I look at it, I'm like, oh my God, that's the biggest nose I've ever seen. But that's just me though.
How's that possible when...
I don't know.
I have a way bigger nose than you. What are you talking about?
It's not a contest.
It's not a contest, but how can she be friends with me who has a bird beak for a nose and then say my nose is huge?
Dude, I've never seen, like, it's not, I'm telling you, I think noses are very one of those personal things where like, no, like I don't ever see your nose. Like I don't look at, like, I don't think that's ever come into my head where I look at you and I go, oh my gosh, Jessica's nose is giant. Like,
no, well, why would you? I wouldn't think that yours is tiny either, but I mean.
But it doesn't come into play into the what I think. It doesn't. So
I know,
I guess.
But Elsie, you are in your own little world when you're in front of other people. Let's be honest.
Yeah,
you are.
Yes, I am. I do not disagree with you, and I think that this is a problem.
You're a better observer from a distance when you're in front of other people. You've a whirling brain.
Oh my God. Yes, I am.
Yes, she does.
But alas, let's go ahead and close out this show that's slowly dying. Before we leave, though, I want to tell you guys, if you guys are interested in Women Podcasters in Solidarity, which is somebody or some an organization that I'm very advocating here very strongly, you guys go to motherquest.com/solidarity. And it really is an initiative that's led by podcasters Julie Neely of Mother's Quest and Christina Downs of The Notable Woman. And it uses the power of podcasting to invite podcasters and their listeners to raise awareness on critical social justice issues through the power of conversation. So please go check that out if that really rocks your boat and you're like, oh my God, yes, I've always wanted that. Please show up. We're still working together to get the word out, and I'm just in the position now of just amplifying this for them. So mothersquest.com/solidarity. Okay, now you can take
awesome. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you would like to give us feedback on anything you've heard today, please check us out at shepodcast.com. We are also at Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at She Podcasts. We also have a free Facebook group, which is facebook.com/groups/She Podcasts. And we have a special, special group called the She Podcast Super Squad, where if you pay $5 in our Patreon, you will be invited to have one-on-one time with me and Elsie in this group. I do an FB Live every Thursday, and Elsie on Tuesdays is doing Q&A via a feed in there. So please check that out. Or if you just want to support us too, that would be great. Patreon.com/She Podcast. Are you shocked? Thank you guys so much for listening. John?
Yes.
Elsie?
Yes.
It's been great. Love you.
Mean it.
Bye. That's it. We're just getting into it.